This is Digital Story Podcast number 795, June 15th, 2021. Today's theme is the breathtaking perspective of ultra-wide lenses. I'm Derek Story. Thank you. It's great to be here. You know, we all have our favorite optics, and often we begin a photo shoot with our comfortable old friend of a lens. But before you pack up and move on to the next location, I encourage you to break out your widest optic as well. In today's TDS Photography Podcast, I'll tell you why in an easy way to bring ultra-wide into your life. I hope you enjoy the show. So first of all, I want to tell you that that interface that I was talking about that I got myself for my birthday last week, well, it arrived and I tested it and I'm up and rolling and we're using the new system for this podcast. So I'm going back to my studio mic. I've got a nice interface. I have all sorts of, you know, fun things that I can do here. Like if I say something funny, we have a little, I mean, you hear me laugh all the time on the show, but now you can hear an audience laugh as well. But I'm not going to be heavy-handed with it or, you know, go crazy, but it's just nice to have a few little things to play with just to keep the show alive and fresh, right? Isn't that what we're all about here? Having fun and learning stuff. And that's what we're going to do today. Now, I want to talk about ultra-wide lenses. So, you know what got this all going, really, was last week, Olympus announced their new digital ED 8 to 25 millimeter f4 Pro lens. So it's $1,099. So at the widest end, this zoom gives you an effective focal length of 16 millimeters. And that's a perspective worth exploring. Now they have a 7 millimeter zoom, or a zoom that starts at 7 millimeters, which I've shot with. It's a lovely lens. I really like it. But this one's lighter, it's a bit more portable, and I just think that it's a really cool lens. I think it's an easier and more nimble lens to carry around. So why am I interested and why did this lens get me going down this road? Well, actually, I was already going down this road and this lens just sort of reminded me of the path that I was already on. And I think the best way for me to explain this is to tell you a story about something that happened this morning. It actually happened this morning. So we had some beautiful clouds in Sonoma County, and we have a heat wave coming in. So this is going to be the last day of, you know, a cool sky for a while. From now on, it's just going to be one color, and it's going to be hot, whatever that color happens to be. So I've had my eye on this barn. It's really interesting here in Santa Rosa. It's in a residential area, but this person that owns the barn also owns this large parcel of land. And so basically you have this cool parcel of land that's pretty wide open. It just feels great. There's some trees and stuff. And he keeps it, you know, he knocks down the weeds once a year and it just stays nice and flat. And then he has this white barn that's on this parcel of land sitting right in the middle of this residential area. And I've admired this barn for a long time. And I thought, you know, I want to take a picture of that. So I rode by it the other day on my bike and I said, next time there's a good sky, I'm coming out here and I'm going to finally photograph this barn. It's not far from the studio. So this morning was that day. And I decided that I wanted to use the Fujifilm, the medium format camera, the GFX100S, for this because I thought, you know, this barn has got this weathered wood, it's got all this detail. It's a very interesting subject, and what a perfect subject if anyone asks me, you know, how much detail does this medium format sensor give you? You know, how good is it? All that. I go, well, then I'll be able to whip out this barn shot and show it to him. Plus, I was thinking, if I get a really nice version of it, then I can make a big print, right? This giant print. So I grabbed the camera. I put the 50 millimeter GF lens on it. So I'm going out the door. I've got camera in hand, and I have my iPhone in my pocket. And off I go. The sky was starting to change. You know how you get a little nervous when the conditions are just right, but you're not where you want to be yet? You're not at the location? That's that anxiety I was feeling this morning. So I'm trying not to drive too fast, and I'm trying to get there in good shape. And I'm trying to get there fast enough so the sky is still there. So I get there, and the sky is still there, and the sun's kind of playing peekaboo with the clouds. So I was able to shoot this white barn in a variety of circumstances. You know, sometimes very bright light on it, which is a good test for the Fujifilm camera. Sometimes a little more subtle light, you know, where a cloud would go in front of the sun for a bit. So I got all these different things. I'm finally relaxing. I'm having a good shoot. And I'm going, this is fun. I really like this. I'm about done with this now. And I'm just kind of standing there. And I thought, okay, let me take a look at a few of my shots on the LCD. And I do that. And they look good. And I'm feeling satisfied. But before I left the scene, and this is a key part to today's podcast, before I left the scene, I pull out my iPhone 12 Pro Max. I go to the ultra wide lens, which is a 13 millimeter lens, equivalent focal length of a 13 millimeter lens. And I take two pictures just so I can have an ultra wide shot as well. So I get back to the studio, and I was supposed to do some other things, but you know how it is. I wanted to see the pictures that were on the card. So I load up the Fujifilm. And, you know, looking at the pictures, and I'm going through, and a few were disappointing. I didn't handle the contrasty light quite as well as I had hoped to, but then a few were really beautiful, just fantastic. And I'm going, all right, I'm really excited. So I do a little editing on them. I'm in Capture Pro 21, which edits Fujifilm files just beautifully. So I'm in Capture One Pro 21. I'm editing these things, and they look great. And I have about 4 or 5 picks, you know, 3-star shots after I do this first round of editing. So then I said, okay, let me just go ahead and load in the 2 iPhone shots too that I shot with the ultra wide. So they come in, and they're in the same album, and I'm looking at them and I go, wow, those look really nice, because it was a blue sky and some active clouds in the sky. And then, of course, the barn that was sitting in this field that was all mowed down nice and low, but it had this warm kind of brownish color to it. The field did, with this white barn. And I shot it ultra wide because, you know, what I wanted was that big sky, and I wanted more of a big scene, you know, with the barn in it, as opposed to a portrait of the barn, which is basically what I shot with the Fujifilm. So I'm looking at the shot and I go, you know what? I'm going to pick the best one here, my favorite, and I'm going to just edit it up a little bit. You know, not too much, just edit up a little bit. It cleaned up very nicely, just had to make a few minor adjustments. So now I have it sitting there in the album with my medium format shots. And I'm looking at the thumbnails of the album, and I'm thinking, maybe there's another one I should work on here or not. And I keep going back to those ultra wides and keep going back to the ultra wide. And I'm going, doggone it, if my favorite shot in this album isn't the ultra wide, it's the most interesting. The other shots are technically very good. If I hadn't seen the ultra wide, you know, like when I first loaded them, I'd be very happy with them. I'm sure other people will respond to them when I share them. But now that the ultra wide shot's in there, the 13 millimeter shot, I really can't stop looking at it. And I just thought, wow, if anything tells the story of why you should have an ultra wide lens with you, I thought, this morning's it. So I'm going to talk about it in today's show. And so the first thing I'm going to say after that story is that I want to advocate for you having an ultra-wide lens with you when you go out for your landscape work. Now, in the city is a different thing. Obviously, not so much for portraits unless you're doing something special. But I'm talking about for landscape work, and I'm thinking about this now because we're getting to the point where we might be out in landscape again. We might be traveling again. You might be packing up your bags to go somewhere. You might be getting on a plane or doing a road trip. And in that bag, you know, the bag that you have, the gear that you're going to select from while you're out working on the road, I'm advocating to have an ultra-wide lens in there. Now, what do I mean by that? What qualifies for an ultra-wide lens? Well, I would say in my very liberal definition that it has to be a focal length of at least 20 millimeters, okay? So 24 millimeters is a good wide-angle lens. I like 24 millimeters for my wide-angle lens, but I don't consider that an ultra-wide until you get to 20 millimeters. And I would say that is the minimum that I consider for an ultra-wide lens, at least 20 millimeters. The second thing that I look for in one of these lenses is a size that's compact enough for me to always have it with me, okay? Because if you have this ultra-wide lens that's this giant hunk of glass that's big and heavy, then chances are, as you're making your final selections for your bag before you take off on a trip or before you get in the car and go somewhere, it's much easier to leave it behind. It's much easier to leave it behind if it's this big hunk of glass. And, you know, I don't think you should do that. I think you should have it with you. So then the second consideration I have and that I recommend is that the size is compact enough to always have with me. And I'm going to give you some examples of that in just a second. Now, the third consideration is that I prefer it not to be a fisheye. Now, I don't rule those out because actually two of my lenses that I was using prior to the iPhone 12 were fisheye. I like rectilinear and I like distortion mild lenses. But if the choice is between having ultra-wide that is a fisheye or no ultra-wide at all, I will always pick an ultra-wide that is a fisheye. And an example of that is that before I had the iPhone 12 Pro Max, I always carried with me the Olympus fisheye body cap 9mm f8 lens. Now that, I know many of you have that lens, and it is a fun lens, and it is surprisingly good. Because it's only $99. It's only $99, you know, manual focus. You got a little lever, so you got to remember to get the lever in the right spot, either infinity or I forget, there's a middle setting and there's a close-up setting. Most of the time it's at the infinity setting or the middle setting. But if you get that lever in the right spot, your focusing distance, and you hold that lens so that it's parallel to the plane, right? Now you can have it at angles if you want effect, but if you hold it parallel to your subject plane, it takes really good shots. And I have lots of images to back that up. So that was very easy to carry with me because it is literally the size of a body cap for your camera. $99, you can always have it with you. And it even has a little, when you slide the focusing lever all the way to the left, I believe, it even has a little lens covering so it doesn't get scratched. So you can do that right now. If you don't already have one, if you do have one, just drop it in your camera bag. Just have it in there. And then when you head out, you know, when you're bopping around, you know, you can just have it in your pocket. Just carry it in your pocket. Remember to use it though. And this is the thing, you know, you have to introduce this new sequence, this new behavior, but we'll do more on that in a second. So that's one way, if you don't have a smartphone that has that ultra-wide camera, that's an easy way to do for Micro Four Thirds shooters. Now, another lens that I've had a lot of fun with that I bought for $229, and it is the Samyang 7.5mm fisheye Micro Four Thirds lens. It's the f3.5, and the reason why I got that back when I did was I wanted something a little bit wider and a little bit faster than my body cap lens. As you can tell, I'm not a guy that invests thousands of dollars in his ultra wide lenses. I do have expensive lenses, but they haven't been on the ultra wide angle. They've been more on the telephoto side. So at any rate, I got this Samyang and I like it. Now, it's a fisheye, but again, if you hold it parallel to the subject plane, it's very mild. It's very mild. And a lot of times, unless you have like straight objects right on the very edge of the frame, they'll lean in. But on a lot of scenes, it won't even jump out at you that it's a fisheye lens. And you can get it now for $229 for Micro Four Thirds. And they also have it in all the other mounts. That's kind of the cool thing about this lens. You can get it for Canon, Nikon, yada, 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 for all the different mounts. Samyang or Rokinon does a good job of having these lenses available in multiple mounts. So you have that. And I use that for a long time. I still use it. I kind of like it because it does have its own look. And it's manual focus, but really, at 7.5 millimeters, which equates to effective focal length of 15 millimeters in Micro Four Thirds talk, how much focusing do you really need to do? I mean, you maybe move it a fraction of an inch every now and then, but I tell you, it's not a lens you have to do a lot of focusing. So the fact that it's a manual focus lens only comes into play if you're getting close to something. But for most scenes, you know, you just sort of park it just inside of infinity and everything is covered. So again, and met my desires, my specs, because it's really compact. It doesn't weigh very much. It's a high quality optic. And in this case, relatively fast at f3.5. So I've had that for quite a while and, you know, used it when the body cap lens just wasn't appropriate, which is, let's face it, at f8, there are situations where it's not appropriate. So here's what I recommend on this front here, this ultra wide front, is that I'm thinking if I had a couple of these things stashed away, you probably do as well, right? You probably got a little something going on there, and maybe you haven't used it for a while. So, you know, step one is to dig around and see what you have. Now, if you shoot Micro Four Thirds and you don't have anything stashed away that's wider than 20 millimeters, then that Olympus body cap lens for $99 is a great way to go. By the way, you may have guessed by now that I have links to all these things I'm talking about in the show notes. So links to everything. So just go to the show notes and you'll be able to just click on the link and it'll take you right to wherever. Also in the show notes, I have the two pictures from the barn today. So I have the one that I took with the medium format camera. That is a lovely shot with the 40 millimeter lens. And then I have the ultra wide shot in there that I took with the iPhone 12 Pro Max at 13 millimeters. You may prefer one shot over the other. You know, this is the way photography goes, but it's very interesting how different they are. They are so different standing right there in the same location. So that's the other thing. If you have a smartphone that has a high quality ultra wide lens on it, then remember to use that. And this is the hard part, because I think almost everyone listening to the show has an old ultra wide stashed away somewhere that they got for some reason, right? You got it for some reason, and then you just go, okay, and then you sort of forgot about it. So you either have that, or you have a smartphone with an ultra wide camera on it. So the really tricky part is not so much getting the optic, is remembering to use it. And so this is the habit that I've been trying to form with this, which is I do my shoot with whatever lens I had planned on doing, and I do that shoot to the best of my ability. But before I leave the scene, before I leave the location, I pull out, in my case now, the iPhone, and I take a couple shots with the ultra wide camera. And I really line them up. You know, it's not like I do this grab shot. I mean, I'm lining it up. I'm trying to get everything straight, trying to compose. I'm taking a real shot with this camera. It's a real camera. It's a good camera. So I'm taking a real shot with this camera. And I'm just having that in addition to whatever else I had planned to do, And I'm telling you, there are so many instances like today that I'm so happy that I did that. And I just wanted to share that with you so that you'll remember to do that. and you too may find the results breathtaking. Oh yeah. I thought I'd bring this back. We haven't played this in for a while. Speaking of ultra-wide lenses, there's a new one out for Micro Four Thirds shooters. Venus Optics new $549 7.5mm f2 Micro Four Thirds lens now has electronic aperture control. You can read this article, the entire article, on DP Review, and you can order that lens now directly from them. But let me read you a little bit about this lens, because I think it's interesting, and there was a little pushback online from some of the readers, but I want to address that as well. But first, Venus Optics has announced an updated version of its Laowa 7.5mm f2 Micro Four Thirds lens that has electronic aperture control and an onboard chip for transferring metadata from the lens to the camera. As for dimensions, the lens comes in at 3mm, 0.12 inches larger in diameter, and 7mm, 0.28 inches than the manual version. And despite adding the electronic aperture control and onboard CPU chip, Venus Optics managed to reduce the lens weight to 150 grams, 5.3 ounces, down from 170 grams, 6 ounces of the manual version. The Laowa 7.5mm f2 lens with electronic aperture control is available to order on the Venus Optics website for $549. And then the article goes on to say you can view a gallery of full-size sample images on the Venus Optics Flickr album. So a couple things about this. So they are now part of the Micro Four Thirds Consortium. You know, they are legit Micro Four Thirds lens producer. They're certified, which means they have access to all of that information that allow them to do things like this. I believe this is their third optic since they've joined the Micro Four Thirds group. And there's a couple things about this lens that I really like. First of all, the electronic aperture control is a big deal. I know that the manual focus lens that I got, which was that 40mm in my Nikon mount that has the electronic aperture control, that changed everything. Because yes, you can set up your camera to, you know, register, or most cameras anyway, to register what focal length it is, but you have to remember to push the right button in order to do that. And you know, there's some of these things you can kind of do, but the minute you have a manual focus lens that has electronic aperture control, then you don't really have to think about much of anything. In other words, you can shoot in program mode, you can shoot in shutter priority mode, you can do all of that stuff. And then anything else that the camera needs to communicate with the lens that would happen with any Micro Four Thirds camera and any, let's say, Olympus or Panasonic lens also happens with this lens. And it's just a huge difference. And the thing about it is that it meets the other criterion that I talked about in the previous story, which is it's not too big, not heavy, it's not bulky, it's fast, and it produces beautiful pictures. So I think this needs to be a contender. As we're talking about ultra-wide lenses, obviously we're going to, if we're Micro Four Thirds here, we're going to be talking about the new Olympus lens because it's cool. But I also wanted to mention this one because I think this is a good alternative for a quality ultra-wide that will set you back basically $550. As I mentioned, I have the link to the entire article there in the show notes. You can go over to DP Review. If you're thinking of a quality ultra-wide optic, this would be a good one. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club business. First thing I want to mention, if you have a film camera or lenses for film cameras or cool film camera accessories that you think aspiring film photographers would be interested in, please go to thenimblephotographer.com. Let me know what you have, and I will get back to you. Thank you so much, everyone who has contributed. I want to give a huge shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community and this podcast month after month. They're also the folks that help me when I'm trying to decide what to do. And I go, should I do this or should I do that? I give them an option and they give me their thought. And it really helps me plot our future as we go to the second half of 2021 and into 2022. If you're interested in supporting this community and supporting this podcast, it's only $5 a month. And if you do the annual all at once, you save 10% on top of that. You save 10% on top of that. And then you are a contributing member. You have access to our Inner Circle site. You have access to all the discounts that we have and the special offers. And you have access to this great group of artists who share their thoughts and ideas on our Inner Circle site. Thank you so much, Inner Circle members. And those of you who haven't joined yet, I hope you do in the near future. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. These are the folks that support this podcast month in and month out, the longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. They have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and they have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. You click on that tile and you are entering the world of inkjet printing. Everything you need to know is behind that tile. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope it sounded good. I'm working on great stuff for next week. Make sure you stop by and check it out. Until then, stay safe, be creative, shoot ultra wide. I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.